Dr. Fleming, and greetings to all who are on the telephone and the internet, and welcome to the Church of God and Truth. Sounds like everyone that was here with us had made it already home nice and safe. We heard no other reports that it wasn't, and so we were happy to hear that. And I know that churches around this world have a different day than we do to travel, but I prayed for them as well that they have a safe trip, because there are a lot of them are going to be, we're on the road, and different transportation and the ways they travel. And so anyway, it's been a blessing. We've not heard any bad news from any of the churches where any serious accidents happened or any such thing as that. And so we're very glad to hear that kind of a good report. Well, I did pray that for everybody who are on the phone and on the internet, had a spiritual feast of Tabernacles and Last Great Day here with us here in Branson West. We had a very rejoiceful feast, at least I and my wife felt, with wonderful fellowshipping, knowing when you meet all year long and not really have that many visitors or people with us, it's a real blessing for us to be able to have company and to have those of us soundness of mind that God's are blessed all of us to have as the Holy Spirit to bonds us together. So it was a real blessing for us, as I pray it was for them being here. But being now back into this world, reading and watching today's news should bring us to our knees. I think that should be pretty clear. If you do have been keeping up with things that's going on, you know, we truly do need God's kingdom to come and to bring peace to this earth, because we are definitely not having an earth with peace today. There's corruption everywhere. Every time you turn on the news, it seems like something new has happened and more violence has happened and people are getting killed and so forth. So all these are not good news to hear. That's why God's kingdom, to bring that peace that we read of in the Word, will truly be brought to pass. Well, we do have here on the announcements, we've been given a few prayer requests to mention to all of you about praying for. But first, I'd just like to bring to your attention Psalms 103. Very clearly tells us, "Blessed the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities and heals all of your diseases." So those are things that we need to build faith on. And those are God's words telling us that. And so we need to be able to put truly our full faith in that God will answer, and those we pray for will be healed and be taken care of the way God has it planned out for each one of us. And so it's a blessing when you read those things like that, what it reminds us of. But there in Psalm 103, it's a benefit. And so we are very blessed to be able to pray for these that we're going to mention here now who have had problems and health problems. But first, as I mentioned here, that we received a nice four-page feast report coming from the Philippines. They said that they had a wonderful feast and the weather there was great. As you know, we had been praying about that because of typhoons that would just race through that country just a little bit before the feast there, and they were afraid another one would be coming following it. But anyway, it sounded like it did not happen, and they had a good feast. Sound like some of them had to fly in, and so they were protected by God's flight there to have a feast, just as those who flew in from here were protected and had a safe flight here and back home again. But those are definitely blessings for us to be able to pray for and thank God very much for those things. One of the things on that report from the Philippines was that he's requesting prayer for Mrs. Serapis. She has been in and out of the hospital, I take it, during the feast year. And so there's been some problems. He didn't say exactly what the reason was, but it doesn't matter. We just ask God to heal her and help her in whatever situation she's going through that is not obviously a comfortable one, where she would not be running back and forth to the hospital and doctors. So thinking she's going to get relieved right away. So anyway, you want to put her on your prayer request, and if we hear anything new on that, we will pass that on to you. Another request here that we've received is from Jim Clinton of Oklahoma, who was here at God's Feast. He'll be going in for surgery this next Tuesday, which is just a few days away here now, for some growths that are on his face. I take it that these growths came on after he had had all this serious work done on his forehead of the cancerous growths that he had there. And then all of a sudden, these other ones developed. But now he's going to be going in, like I said, Tuesday and have surgery done on him. And it sounds like that some of the surgery will be able to be done from the inside of the mouth, so that he isn't left with a scar on the outside. And that was good news to hear that, even though it's a bad thing and a bad situation to have to go through. But I know that he would appreciate your prayers very, very much. He was also very much concerned while several conversations that I've had with him about he would like to regain some weight and strength because he's lost about 80 pounds. And that isn't something that we like to see because it always takes our fighting weight down and it gives us less to fight with. So anyway, we'd like to have you put Jim Clinton on your prayer request for his healing and that everything will go well at the hospital when he goes in Tuesday to have that surgery done or that work done. Also, Edward Wernicke from Texas, he is in a lot of pain still. He was here at the feast the year before last when they were here. He had gone back and his shoulders and so forth were giving him a lot of trouble. Caused by some kind of a fibromyalgia. I don't know exactly how all that works there, but whatever it is, it must be very, very painful. And he has caused him sickness because of it. He's very, very limited on things he can do, and that has to be hard on any man that finds himself not be able to handle himself as he once was when he was younger. But anyway, Edwin's asking for your prayers and put him on the prayer list, and him and his wife Connie to watch over them, bless and be with them. One other thing here, the new moon day for the eighth month on God's calendar is Monday, October the 8th. Forgot to put that in the weekly letters, so I apologize to you for that, but that you should be keeping pretty much track of that because we have sent you calendars that have the new moon drawn on them with a black dot, and that should give you the days that they're on. But anyway, it's next Monday, October the 8th. So with that, let me just ask all of you to make sure your phones are muted. It sounds nice and quiet from what I'm listening to here, that everybody's phone has been obviously muted because I'm not hearing any noise going on there. And I am assigned the sermon here today, so we will proceed with that. You know, we've been blessed for the past 6 months to have walked through God's seven-step plan for preparations to be in His kingdom. And that is something that we all, every year, look forward to, knowing that it is there to be kept forever and ever, as Scripture tells us if you read through Leviticus 23. But we now are given 6 months to be on our own, to see if we will stay the course without slacking off or going off track. You know, Christ admonishes us here in Matthew 7 to enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. And that's speaking about eternal life, not just temporary life here on this earth, as we are just temporary. We're dust, as God clearly says from His Scripture. And so it is important to keep this body that we have, but the spiritual body that we're fighting to have later on. And we do thank God for that opportunity to be able to work on having that and that kind of a body in the future for us. But Jesus is saying there that to follow Him, it would require faith, discipline, and endurance. Well, those are three requirements. Allow no room or time for napping or for slumbering, like the 10 virgins experienced prior to their hearing the midnight cry. If you've not read those scriptures lately, you should go back because they are always fitting in with God's word. Everything we read, because it talks about two different types of people, those who are Laodicean and those who are Philadelphian. And so it's a blessing to be able to have those comparisons and explain what they actually are and mean. But our faith, discipline, and endurance for the next 6 months is going to be examined by our Creator to see how spiritually awake we are. You know, turn over here to Matthew 13. Begin looking here at God's Word that's going to set the stage here for us. There's furnishings on the stage to follow through with His Word. Here in Matthew 13 and in verse 24, it begins there, is what I want to say. Another parable put Jesus Christ forth unto them, that is His disciples, and we are His disciples, so He's putting this forth to us, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed seed, good seed, in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares, that is degenerate wheat, among the good wheat, and went his way. But why do I say degenerate wheat? Well, it's because the righteous and the wicked are often mingled together in the physical, visible church. You know, there are seven personalities given to us if you read Revelation 2 and 3 that pretty much fits almost any of God's churches, because those personalities are within that that group and all kinds. So there's some that were pleasing to God and some that are not. But here in verse 26 it says, and when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares, talking about here the degenerate wheat. Also, so the servants of the household came and said unto him, that is Jesus, sir, did not you sow good seed in the field? From whence has it tares? And Christ said unto them, an enemy has done this. The servants said unto him, will you then that we go out and gather them up? Verse 29, but he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, that is the bad wheat, you root up also the good wheat with them. So let's both let both grow together unto the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather you together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the good wheat unto the barn, into my house, into my storage. And that is what we read scriptures like that, and we can see that there are going to be people raised with us who some are bad and some are good. We know that there's two different kinds, just like we just mentioned, those 10 virgins. But here in verse 25 gives us the answer to how the dangerous degenerate wheat or seed was able to get planted. There it said in verse 25, while the men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the good wheat, and went his way. Well, today I want to consider that phrase that I just mentioned to you there in verse 25, while men slept. You know, there have been many disastrous events in history that have occurred while men slept. Nations have changed ownership, and people have lost their lives. I'm just going to give us a few examples here as we march through the sermon, because it all fits together. Here on September the 12th, 1759, going back a few years now, in Quebec, the French headquarters there in Canada was under attack by Major General James Wolfe of England. And after the French repelled three attempts by the British, the governor felt safe and wrote a letter to a friend and said, we are no longer concerned about the security of Quebec. So he got pretty comfortable, relaxed, seeing that he had already defeated them three times as they tried to attack Quebec. But as you probably are going to want to hear the rest of that story, it says, wherefore, while men slept, the British scaled the north wall along the St. Lawrence Seaway, and at early dawn caught the French unprepared, and we won the battle. that is the North American continent, came under the control of Britain. So you can see it didn't pay for those to be lazy, laid back, sleeping, or slumbering. There's a similar event occurred here in New Jersey, here in the United States, around the late December 1776. That is a few years later than is one I just gave you. That story tells us that the fire of America independence burned low because several defeats were suffered in a row. But while men slept, General Washington laid 2,500 men across the Delaware River and Trent, New Jersey, on December the 26th, 1776, and swept a victory for America's independence. Well, stories like these, I think, should alarm us to stay alert, awake, and not relax our guard, that is, against our enemy Satan, as we are told so clearly he is out there to devour us any chance he would get. But Apostle Paul reminds us and warns us in his letter to the Thessalonians about the air of confidence and security that we might find in this world and its ways. Here in 1 Thessalonians 5, if you want to go along with me here on the story we're laying out here today, in 1 Thessalonians 5, and pick up a couple verses there, and in verse 2, it says, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. And when they shall say, peace and safety, or when they shall be slumbering and sleeping, then sudden destruction comes upon them, and travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." Very clear that we need to stay awake, not become lazy and laid back and sluggish. You know, these verses remind me of another familiar story, one that we've all heard several times, especially in sermons, because it's such a good example to give, and it's something that we need to keep always in our mind. And that verse reminds us of the story here. It says that happened back in April 14th, 1912. So it's within a lot closer distance here than these other two dates that I had given you earlier on these other stories. But April the 14th, 1912, over 100 years ago, this was when the British liner named Titanic sank. That was on her maiden voyage when crossing the Atlantic from the Southampton, England, to New York, with a loss of over 1,500 lives. That's a lot of people to lose their lives all at one time. Well, this unexpected, I think stunning accident raised the questions, how could so many people have lost their life on such a big, well-built passenger ship? And they are big, really big today. But the Titanic weighed 46,000 pounds. The rudder alone weighed 100 tons. So that should give you kind of an idea of the size of this boat or this ship. It was the biggest object ever set in motion by man at that time. It was 11 stories tall and 4 city blocks long, accommodating 2,500 passengers and a crew of 1,000 at the time it went down. So it had a lot of passengers as well as a lot of crew members there working diligently trying to save people's lives. I can imagine what kind of a chaos that must have been when that was all going on. But this modern-day seagoing vessel had 16 watertight compartments with its engine producing 50,000 horsepower at the rudder. That's a lot of force, a lot of power. But the captain of the ship, Edward J. Smith, had 40 years of experience at sea, and he was considered to be the elite captain of the White Star Line fleet of ships. It was a pretty good size shipping company. But Captain Smith, when interviewed, he said, "I have never been in an accident or any sort worth speaking about. I never saw a wreck, nor was I ever in any predicament that threatened to end a disaster of any sort." Well, when asked about the Titanic, he replied, "I cannot imagine any conditions which would cause a ship to flounder, and I cannot conceive of any destroyer happening to this vessel." So he concluded his statements by saying, "Modern shipbuilding has gone beyond that." How many times on some other subjects you may have heard that kind of an answer? Well, the day of the Titanic accident was on Sunday, April the 14th, as I mentioned. The weather was clear, calm seas, temperature was 32 degrees. Their speed was about 22 knots, equivalent to approximately about 25 miles per hour. And they had their mind's eye to break the record time from crossing the Atlantic Ocean. So during its last day afloat, the Titanic had received six separate warning of icebergs in the area. So it wasn't like they were traveling across that Atlantic and not warned about these icebergs that were obviously afloat there. Well, the last one they received was the evening of at 9:40 p.m. And that was the 2 hours after that last warning, the Titanic hit an iceberg on its port side, and a little after 12 midnight, well, pretty close to hours together there, Captain Smith ordered the lifeboats to be taken out. And as they found out, there was never enough lifeboats for everybody that they had aboard that vessel. So that didn't balance out very well when something like when that iceberg, they collided with it. But after they had sent out these distress calls, they fired off rockets. Rockets be like fireworks that we would watch in hopes that they would be interpreted as distress signals. Well, there was another ship named the California. It is also of the White Star Line. It was only 10 miles away, and it had stopped for the evening because of those ice conditions, because of those iceberg conditions. So their captain didn't want to go through the ice field at night. Unfortunately, their radio operator was off duty, so they had no way of receiving the Titanic stress call. The California officer on duty at night saw the rockets, but were not sure they indicated distress, so they did not choose to wake their captain. So they chose not to wake their captain, who retired with orders to not be disturbed while men slept. Well, that night at 2:20 a.m. in the dark of night, that Titanic turned perpendicular to the ocean. Without the Titanic Captain Smith's knowledge, a ship only 58 miles ahead of the Titanic that had already gone through the ice field heard the SOS distress calls from the Titanic. Had heard it from early on, as I just mentioned to you. But Captain Ross Trend, a man known by his crew to be seen many times in silent prayer, turned his ship, the Carpathian, around and headed back through the icebergs. That is to help rescue the people of the Titanic. He passed by icebergs that were 200 feet high. Whew, that's hard to imagine, but how big those things are. But that did not stop him from his mission. You know, stories like this should make us think that it doesn't, it does make a difference who is in the helm, who is in charge. It makes a difference who is the captain. And it does make a difference who is asleep and who is awake. in the book of Daniel. In the book of Daniel is another story about Belshazzar, the son of Nebuchadnezzar, who saw the handwriting on the palace wall that said, "You are weighed in the balances and was found wanting." Well, that sentence cost Belshazzar his life and his kingdom. And Daniel 5, verse 30 reveals that in that night, Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, was slain. Now, that story behind that verse is the Medes and the Persians entered and conquered Babylon, killing Belshazzar. And that happened while he and his guard slept. So you see the physical stories I'm saying. You can see the spiritual stories I'm saying. So it's very, very real to us that we need to be cautious that we don't fall asleep and slumber and not put faith in God to take care of us and make sure that we're aware of all the things He's promised us He will fulfill for us. Well, a story closer to our memory, I think, is when we were invading Iraq. If you remember, it was a few years back here. The USA Muslim soldier that was on guard duty rolled a grenade into a tent during the night, and where some soldiers were sleeping, killing one and wounding the others. That broke my heart to read that story, to think that somebody could be so cold to do something like that. But it definitely hit the news, and that people were told the story about that. You know, these stories and events from God's Word and now history should warn us to be alert, should alert us to be aware of the dangers that can happen while men have slept and while men have slumbered, become just lazy. Too hard for them to open God's Word and follow some instructions that God's given them towards the direction of eternal life. But many of these tragedies can and have occurred. There's another one here, for instance, the story of Jonah. We know that story, that some men fall deep asleep like Jonah. And before he was swallowed up by that big fish, they said. But we know Jonah's story. God had commanded Jonah to go preach repentance, that is, to the city of Nineveh. That was an assignment that God gave him. But he boarded a ship to flee the opposite direction from what God told him to do. "You ain't going to tell me what to do. I'm going to do it my way. I'm not going to go do there. I'm not going to be gone my way to Nineveh. I don't want any part of that." Well, so God brought a mighty tempest storm on that on the sea, and the man in the boat felt they were in danger. But Jonah was fast asleep, and it conveys to us here in Jonah 1 and verse 5 that when the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them, but Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. He was a comfortable person at that time. He wasn't worrying about that ship being tossed to and fro. But in verse 6 there it says, the captain confronted Jonah. It says, "So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What mean you, O sleeper? Arise and call upon your God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not." Well, many today are like Jonah, so far as their spiritual life is concerned. You know, dangers of evil, storms all around them, but they are spiritually asleep regarding it, absolutely ignoring it. It's not going to affect me, not going to happen to me. Well, their sins are being ignored by their calloused attitude. God, you and are not going to command me what to do, as we know that that's undoubtedly run through their mind. Very stubbornness that we all seem to be born with into that human nature that we fight to get rid of. But with that kind of reasoning, Apostle Paul warns needs to be heeded. Here in Ephesians 5, turn with me over there, Ephesians chapter 5, read about four verses over there to start off with here. Ephesians 5, starting in verse 14. Awake, you who sleep, rise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Wise information from God. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be you not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Not your will, but the Lord's will. You know, it's a sin, we're a called out one, not to use his God-given faculties and intelligence in contemplating of God's will for him. We need to keep that in mind, to do God's will, not our will. So let's move on here to another example here in Mark 14. There it's going to show us what Jesus Christ's attitude and will was while his disciples slept. As we know, these are the verses we're going to be looking at in probably 6 months from now, 5 months from now, as we leave the last of the holy days now behind us. Here in Mark 14 and verse 32, and then came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he said unto his disciples, set you here while I shall pray. And he took with him Peter, James, John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. And he said unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful and to death. Tarry you here and watch. In other words, stay alert, stay awake, and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Father, Father, all things are possible unto you. Take away the cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. Good instructions to follow. So after praying this, Christ walked back to see how the disciples were doing. Here in verse 37, and it came to pass and found them sleeping, and said unto Peter, Simon, sleep you? Could not you watch this 1 hour? Watch you and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, neither knew they what to answer him. And he came the third time and said unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. And behold, the Son of Man is betrayed unto the hand of sinners. Verse 42, rise up. Let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. Well, evidence is found in Matthew 16 and verse 21 that Christ had plainly told his disciples several times that he would suffer and die, but it seems that they had ignored his telling them. Here in Matthew 16, 21, if you want to read that, it says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders, the chief priests, the scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. It's a mouthful, but it's true. They were given a warning of these are the things that are coming on Christ, their Savior. And we know he's our Savior. And these are the stories that we will be telling, like I say, when we get closer to the days of unleavened bread and Passover and so forth. But when that time came, that the scripture just answered for us, but when that time came, it would have been good for the disciples to have encouraged him in what he was about to face. But they were asleep. They were asleep at the wheel, you might say, an old saying. That is, but that is something that many of us have heard. And we can see where it came from out of God's word. You know, their excuse must have been they were exhausted and having a long day. So they went to sleep instead of giving sympathy to Jesus' requests. Today, some called are exhausted and worn down spiritually, not knowing who to believe anymore because of there are so many different doctrines that have changed being made today. Each church seems to have different beliefs and different things that they're reading out of God's Word and looking at it in a different opinionated way. You know, this is why there is a need for all of us to be on guard, awake, and watchful, or as we know, the evil enemy Satan will attack us in our weakest moments, and we do all come across weakest moments in our lives. That is when our mind's eye are slumbering and sleeping. And we don't want that to happen to us. We want to be wide awake, alert, aware. You'll remember our enemy Satan, the devil, never sleeps. He's always awake and active 24 hours a day. He doesn't need to rest like we as human beings have to rest or that, but he is spirit and he can be more active. You know, I think that is why we need to be always on guard, knowing that he's always active, and not be like Samson, and who was caught off guard. Another story right out of God's Word that truly fits in with what we're talking about here. You know, some today are sleeping the sleep of Samson, who was lulled to sleep by Delilah. In Judges 16 is found a witness, Delilah having tried three different times to find the source of Samson's great strength. Three different times. Read with me here these three accounts. The first one is found over here in Judges 16. Judges chapter 16 and verse 7. We're going to be reading about four verses here as we go through the few of these verses here. And Samson said unto her in verse 7, if they bind me with seven green cords that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as other men. Knowing he just gave her words that have no real meaning behind it. Verse 11 here in Judges 16 says, and he said unto her, if they bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak and be as other men. So the third try in the verse 13 says here, and Delilah said unto Samson, here to you have mocked me and told me lies. Tell me where you are, where you might be bound. And he said unto her, if you weave the seven locks of my head with web, weaver my hair into, in other words, tightened looms. And so after Samson had toyed with her request, she said in verse 15, how can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? You have mocked me three times and have not told me wherein your great strength lies. And Samson, after hearing her plea again, found his conscience annoyed and bothered, actually bothering him to death, the way it sounds from reading the scriptures. So he gave in and told Delilah the truth about his strength. There we read the rest of this story here in verses 16. And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart and said unto her, there has not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaved, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all of this his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he has shown me all of his heart. Then the Lord of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. So obviously they were paying, being paid to get this information, and she had her hand out there to grab it. Verse 19 says, it comes to the sleep we all need to be aware of, and that is the sleep of being lulled into comfort zones. This is when a deception can take over. Things, again, we have to be very, very cautious about in all these areas that I'm covering here today. Here in verse 19, and she made him sleep upon her knee, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon you, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before, and shake myself. And he did, not knowing that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him, put out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with the fetters of brass, and he did grind at the prison house. In other words, they put him to work on that grinding wheel. So that little story is something that right out of God's word that we need to be very, very in tune with, how easy and how fooled we can be by somebody talking to us, convincing us to do something that we shouldn't do, or be aware of something that we shouldn't do. So why did he do such a stupid thing? Well, I think no doubt he was so elated and charmed by this woman that he didn't want to lose her, and he felt obviously he would surely lose her if he didn't tell her about where his strength came from. Verse 4 of Judges 16 says that he loved Delilah. He says many today, I think, like Samson, can be charmed asleep, and some smooth, articulate speaker, or some lustful activity, or some sort of in this world. So we cannot assume that we can place ourselves in a position of letting our guard down, that is, slumbering and sleeping, and be safe, because we're not going to be safe. Once we've removed our guard from God tells us to not do, we are in an unsafe grounds, unsafe territory. You know, one day we may let our guard down and wake up like Samson and find that God's Holy Spirit has departed from us, like Samson's strength departed from him. What happened? Well, you gave it away where you got your strength from. Where do we get our strength from? We get it from God, from our Lord of Lords and King of Kings. This is why we've got to stay strong in the things that we see out of his word and believe them, to practice them, and not be afraid to speak about them if somebody questions us, as so many do, as you know. Buying and selling on the Sabbath is one. Postponing God's holy days is another. The list can go on and on. I could name here, but we're not speaking on the calendar issues here. But these are things that we cannot be asleep on. We've got to stay alert and in tune on. God loves us, and he doesn't want to lose us. You know, one day we may let our guard down and wake up like Samson and find that God's Holy Spirit has departed from us, as it did Samson. Another area of concern is what we are talking about here today is found over here in the book of Proverbs, chapter 6. It is in my Bible anyway. It is on page 675. Your Bible might be on a different page. But this is speaking about some sleep, the sleep of a sluggard. Sluggard meaning to lean idly or be sluggish, having no energy to stay on the straight and narrow path. Some find that too hard to follow, too hard to do. Here in Proverbs 6, verse 9, how long will you sleep, O sluggard? When will you arise out of your sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall your poverty come, as one that travails, and you went as an armed man. So man has been endowed with a large measure of free will. Today, many are sluggish and inactive and is not concerned about building character. So when no work on the self to do, they often slack off. That is, slack off on prayer, slack off on studying God's word, slack off on what God says we are to do if we want to stay in tune with Him in heaven. But when that happens, it's easy to fall into a state of slumbering and sleeping like the 10 virgins that we mentioned earlier. But speaking of another story here of sleeping, I read a story about a husband and a wife were continually arguing over whether or not the window should be open or closed when they go to sleep at night. And the man insisted that the window be open. Otherwise, it would be stuffy and hot. And the wife insisted that the window be closed. Otherwise, it would be too cold one night. And one night he said to the, the window must be open for he felt hot. But she insisted that it be closed for this. She felt cold. He opened it. She closed it. Opened it, closed it, opened it, closed it, back and forth arguing. You've probably been through some of these maybe sometime in your life. Finally, without turning the lights on, the husband picked up a stool and threw it at the window. The glass scattered everywhere. They went to sleep, and in the next early morning, just before daybreak, the man said he had never slept better than with the fresh air coming in And she replied that she hardly slept a wink and nearly froze to death. Well, when they turned on the lights, the window was not broken, but the mirror beside it was. So you can see how much of the imagination can be played in a person's life or in a person's mind. But the moral of that story is, as Rodney King said on TV after his police beating in Los Angeles, can't we all just get along? Well, we are busy applying God's word and to our life and character, we can be careful or useful tool in God's hand and in His kingdom. And it's all up to us if we are in that position or if we're not in that position. It's up to us. We make that decision. But I'm for us not sleeping, not being sluggish or going to sleep, but be alert. You know, there's another category of sleep found over here in Ephesians 5. This one is sleeping the sleep of carelessness. Here in Ephesians 5, if we go back there again, we were there once, then go back over there. Here in Ephesians 5, verse 14, wherein he said, awake you that sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be you not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Some more very wise advice to us. You know, there's a lot of careless people in the God's churches here today after breaking up with the Worldwide Church of God. You know, some seem to have forgotten the importance of keeping God's statutes and laws that has been put in place, that is, for their learning and the practicing for eternal life in God's kingdom. You know, it seems they lost their understanding of what the will of God is. And that's only happened because they went to sleep. You know, Apostle Paul, again, when preaching to the Ephesian church, showed them in Ephesians 2 how Christ raised them and us from a spiritual death. Here in Ephesians 2, a few pages there, or from 5, and you, it says there in verse 1, and you has he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein the time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, has quickened us together with Christ, that is, made alive together with Christ, by the grace you saved. Carelessness can cause many to slumber and sleep spiritually. It's important that we put that word spiritually in there. Deceiving themselves is what they're doing. Here again in Ephesians, or Thessalonians, I mean, Thessalonians 5, in another of Paul's writing says, let us not go on sleeping as others do. Here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, you see there's an awful lot in here in God's word about not letting us be sluggish, sleepy, lazy, laid back. Here in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 6, it says, wherefore, let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken, are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Very important for us to understand that. You know, this implies a difference in the nearness of Christ's return, that is, laziness can keep a called out one from being prepared for the final events, which are just around the corner. If we're keeping up with the news, keeping up with Matthew, keeping up with Revelation, keeping up with Daniel, all of these things are starting to fall in place at one time. And these are the things that God said, stay awake and alert to. So this is why the sermon like this, I deliver it for me to hear, to read God's word and tells me these things so I can wake up and stay wide awake and be ready. You know, Paul is exhorting us, that is, to not be ensnared by spiritual laziness, but to be fully wide awake and sober. Very important to be. In 1 Peter 4, in 1 Peter 4, in verse 7, it reminds us, but the end of all things is at hand. Be you therefore sober and watch unto prayer. A lot of knee time. Calluses on the knees need to be done. We get things done when we're on our knees. Well, skipping ahead here to the next chapter where Apostle Peter writes in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking who he can devour. So we, God's called, have to stay awake and keep in mind the things we are being warned about, which we have been warned there with examples throughout this sermon that we're hearing here today. You know, many are living unrealistically in illusion, thinking they are awake spiritually, but many are slumbering and asleep. Some think that all things are fine as they are, but they have slipped into a spiritual poverty from that kind of thinking. So when that happens, what is their fate? What is David's answer to that question like that? Here in Psalms 13 and verse 3, it says, consider and hear me, O Lord, my God, lighten mine eyes. In other words, the eye is the light of the soul. It reflects our inner feelings. David continues here, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Well, with that said, in conclusion here, let us wake up and not let that happen to us. Let's be sober. Let's be a doer of God's word and not a hearer only. Not adding to or taking away from God's word. Keeping us in tune and awake to study God's word daily. Proving to our God that we are willing to stay on guard, stay awake, and not be slumbering or sleeping. With that said, I will return services back over to Mr. Fleming for